When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
And good morning, good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to another edition of our Car Care Show on 830 WCCO. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul, Lloyd's Automotive. Nick Stoffel is with us. Hi, Nick. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things at Lloyd's this past week? Busy as ever, I suppose, this time of year?
Well, as this weather cycles hot to cold, it's been very busy, or I shouldn't say hot, but from cold to colder, you know, we've been busy and getting people ready for the holiday season, their travels to, you know, as we all do, drive somewhere for the holidays. So we're trying to do our best to get most folks ready for that and keep going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you have problems with your car, your truck, your van, and you need to bring it in for service, your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, whatever the case may be, but you kind of want to know what could be ailing before you walk in that door. Why don't you give Nick a call, or if you'd rather send a text, and I'll give you the number to do that. And keep in mind that Nick will be taking his leave about 7:45, so our time goes by very quickly. So better call or text sooner rather than later. Either way, the number is this, 651-461-9226. Nick, I promised our listeners if we had any text questions left over from last week. So I did print out those, and I think I've got, I don't think I'm repeating anything here. So, and maybe you can correct me, but let's feel those while we're waiting for some other calls or text. Let's see. Here's one. I have the dealership do a second oil change on a new Lincoln vehicle about 8,000 miles. Did not know that they had too much oil in it. I drove it. It ran rough, smoked a ton. It stalled and was towed. The dealership said they had too much oil in it, but it's fine. The texter says, I'm not convinced it's fine. Anything I should be worried about? Someone said the catalytic converter could be damaged and it could be years before you know it. What do you think I should do?
Well, that's tough. I mean, to be overfilled oil enough that would cause it to stall would concern me. I'm not sure there's much recourse there, to be honest. Could there be damage to the converter? Take years to know. That's a possibility. You know, I wish I had the easy answer there, but I would be careful. I would document it. I would pay attention. You know, as life goes through, you know, monitor oil consumption, monitor the way the vehicle drives. Have documentation, you know, years down the road, if something does happen, maybe have something fall back on, you know, we won't know until it happens, But you know, unfortunately, at this point, you probably don't have a whole lot to go with other than pay attention, document everything, and keep a folder. So if that day does happen, you have a little bit of paper trail to kind of help you out.
Yeah, good point. Documentation. Text came in this morning, 2012 Jeep 3.6, low compression on number two cylinder, 90 PSI, should be 150. What do you think is most likely the cause, valve or rings?
I would think more likely valve, you know, for the rings to have go bad to the point where there's that low of compression, you think it'd be kind of amongst the other cylinders also. If it's isolated to one cylinder, I would think something with a valve, a burnt valve, it's not seating properly. So when you do that compression test where you're cycling the engine with the gauge in there without it running, it builds pressure and you're measuring that. So if one cylinder is lower than the others, I think it's more likely something with a valve the way it's seating.
Okay. RAV4 2020, I noticed some ticking sound. Could that, I believe it to be related to the fan. Is that a possibility, Nick?
Yeah, if you're in your vehicle, you hear a ticking type sound, turn up and turn down the fan speed, see if the noise changes, the frequency increases, or the volume of it. If it's not changing with that fan control, it's likely something else. Could be under the hood, something with the engine, something with a belt. So a good test to eliminate the fan itself is try to take that fan control, go from low to high, and see if it changes.
Okay. This one just came in this morning as well. 2015 Suburban, 103,000 miles on it. How do I know if I need new shocks? Yeah, what's a good test for any vehicle that might need new shocks?
Well, a couple things. First would be, you know, joust the vehicle. Go to the bumper of the vehicle and kind of depress it down. See how it rebounds. Newer vehicles, or the suspension is such that it might appear to be okay. The other way to do is get the vehicle inside, get it up in the air, and visually inspect. You know, if you see leaking from that shock or any kind of excessive wear there, that'd be a good indication. While you're driving the vehicle, if it feels, you know, it's hard because shocks are one of those slow wear items where, you know, you buy the vehicle, it rides amazing. As years go by, they start to wear out. You start to not notice it, but it does have more of a bouncy or not, you know, quite the firm ride to the road. Take it into your local shop dealership, have them do an assessment and give you a recommendation.
Okay. I'm looking at a text that came in this morning. Said, I recently moved to North Maplewood, in parentheses, it says close to one of your competitors' transmitters. And when listening to 830 in my car, I get a high-pitched squeal, sometimes so bad I can't even listen. This does not happen to my wife's car. This texter has a 2018 Durango. You suppose that competitor's jamming our signal? What do you think is going on there?
I hope not, but you never know. Likely, you know, they're shielding with the antenna. Something is damaged there, so it's allowing the interference from the engine or like the alternator to interfere with that AM signal. You can take it in. They can look at the antenna itself, the shielding on the antenna, and see what has happened.
Okay. Let's see here. I'm going to go back to another way of a couple of as they come in. Good morning. Great show. Thank you. I'm shopping for tires, Texas says. I found some with 2021 production dates that are significantly discounted. Do you think age affects an unused tire or cause any problems? Good question.
I believe it does. You know, if I saw 2021, I'd probably pause. We probably would not install that on a customer's vehicle. Now, if you're a type of person where you're putting a lot of miles on your vehicle and you can wear them out within 2 years, I probably wouldn't worry. But most of us, you know, a set of tires can go 5-6 years. I would probably look for something different before I buy something that's already almost 4 years old.
Okay. Oh, boy, there's more coming in here. I tell you what, let's do. Let's take a quick break here, Nick, and when we come back, we'll pick up on more text messages, not only from last week, but this morning as well. Here is our phone number. It also happens to be our text number, 651-461-9226 on CCO's Car Care Show from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Nick, I want to ask about Lloyd's, but I just want to make mention that we are expecting some snow, freezing rain, sleet today. Could cause some iffy travel conditions. Now, are you experiencing anything where you are?
No, at this point, I'm up in Grand Rapids. As you know, I spend a lot of my weekends traveling for hockey. And, I mean, it's my truck says it's 14 degrees, and the sun's starting to peek out of the eastern sky. So we'll see what the day holds. But, you know, take care of your vehicle, maintain your vehicle, and your vehicle will do its best to get you where you need to go.
Yeah. And but if there are some problems with your vehicle, your car, your truck, your van, and you need some help from Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Yes, sir. So if you have any questions, like you said, don't hesitate to call. You can always reach us at 651-228-1316. If you're doing any holiday shopping during the regular work week, we're at 982 Grand. That's on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth on Grand and St. Paul. And then finally, if you would check out our website, that's lloydsautomotive.net.
And we will get you that information just before Nick leaves us, which is close to 7:45 this morning. Call us or text us with your car care question at 651-461-9226. There's another one that came in this morning. Nick, well, thanks to Nick, it says here. He was right. That's nice when that happens. 2 weeks ago or so, a Honda CR-V in Milwaukee, whose accessories would come on when the car was off and unattended. Two dead batteries. It was the body control module. I appreciate the information. Well, there you go.
Well, they say, Danny, a broken clock is right twice a day, so I guess, I guess we got lucky.
All right. Texter says this, my tire pressure light is always, where did it jump here? It's always on in my 2016 Lexus RX 350, 88,000 miles on it. Texter says, I took it to the dealer who analyzed the computer and said it was the sensor. The cost of repair was quoted as, oh, wow, $1,300. First, is it necessary to fix it? Second, is that reasonable, a reasonable cost to do so?
Well, I'm thinking we might have a little bit of misinformation. You know, if it's one of the tire pressure sensors themselves, you know, there's one in each tire, usually it's a couple hundred dollars. $1,300 seems a bit much. So I think we're missing probably part of the assessment. If it truly is a recommendation of a sensor and it is $1,300, yes, I think that alone is too much. And is it required? You know, as we go along, our lives are so busy. That light is on. You notice that light is on. Usually that light will tell you that a tire is low. My question to that texter is, if you're not going to have that system operational, are you going to take the time to check your tires? Do you fill it with gas, or you're out and about, you walk around, you take a look, do you have a gauge? So personally, I think having those sensors, which can be, you know, having that light working properly can be a bit costly in this situation. But boy, sure, it sure is a nice reminder if you have a low tire. The last thing you want to have is to have a problem with a flat tire on the side of the road somewhere. So, you know, I'd maybe get another more information first off. If that information is still saying to replace one of those sensors as much, I would probably get a second opinion, a second quote. Maybe they're recommending something more. Maybe there's, you know, the module itself or something a little more expensive that would make sense for such an expensive estimate.
All of a sudden, after that text, a couple more came in related to tire pressure. This next one says, my tire pressure monitor dropped on one of the tires, so only three of the tires show the pressure. Is it possible that a sensor became unplugged, or is that a wireless connection? That's one question. Also, the three tire pressures that do show seem to be about 3 to 4 PSI lower than a manual tire gauge shows, which we know, we talked about that last week. Those manual ones are not necessarily the most accurate. But what do you think about this this pressure? That can a sensor become unplugged?
No, they are wireless. So when you look at the wheels on your vehicle, you see that stem where you add the air on the inside of the wheel, which you can't visually see. There's a little sensor attached to that stem. There is a battery in it. There's a life on that battery. How long is it until it doesn't work? You know, so people often ask, how long should they last? You know, I mean, it really does vary. I would tell you that to expect 10 years out of them, I think it's kind of a good number. Maybe it's 8. You know, I can't tell you for sure, but they do go bad. The batteries do wear down. If one goes away and your vehicle is equipped where it tells you the actual pressures, that sensor's gun faulty. The fact that it reads differently than the hand gauge, like you alluded to there, Denny, those hand gauges, you know, it's accurate until as good as the sensor is going to calibrate it. I would tell you, based the fact that there's three other independent sensors reading the pressure, I would think that they're probably more likely to be the correct pressure. And if they're all the same. So if they're all, you know, on the door placard, if it says it's 32 and your gauge says that they're 32 or 34, they're fine. But I would probably replace that fourth one, so therefore you can have it working properly. You don't have to worry about it. As the season gets colder, tires tend to lose a little bit of air. And like as I always say, the last thing you want to have is a problem with the tire on the side of the road.
Yeah, for sure. Tell you what, let's do. Let's grab a phone call this Saturday morning. Todd is calling in from Ramsey, I believe. Todd, thank you. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning. Thanks for taking the call. I have a 19 Highlander with about 120,000 miles on. And this week during those couple of mornings where it dipped below zero, it had to be parked outside those days. And when I, 2 days in a row without running, I should say, and on the third day when I started the car, it needed to be defrosted. So I turned the fan up to the full level, the full gradient, and nothing happened. The fan didn't kick in. And it didn't kick in until I drove for about, I think maybe 7 or 8 minutes before the fan finally engaged. What's the problem and what should I do?
That's a good one. You know, if the fan's not turning on when you actually, you know, go to the control panel and hit the fan speed, I would think that there's maybe something with the fan itself. As the vehicle warmed up, something changed within that fan where there's maybe a short circuit or something that, you know, that open circuit became operational again and the fan kicked in. I guess I would pay attention to see if it truly is temperature related. So the next time we dip down below zero, if it doesn't work again, maybe I'd plan on scheduling an appointment, have the vehicle dropped at your shop or dealership, have them have the voltmeter connected to that circuit on that next cold morning and see what happens. But I would suspect there's something with the fan itself, just the fact that it didn't work and it did kick in. Now, keep in mind that, yes, it was only on a sub-zero morning, but that could also be your warning saying, hey, something's going bad here. It might not work on a day that is above zero, too. So don't become reliant just on that temperature, because the last thing you want to be is cold when you're driving down the road, or you don't want that fan clearing your windshield. So on a very cold day, when we have a little bit of weather, you don't want that window fogging up while you're trying to drive down the road.
Boy, that's for sure. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a break and see what that forecast calls for in our current conditions. We'll do that. And Nick is going to be with us for about another 15 minutes here on 830 WCCO. Weather straight ahead. Stay with us on this Saturday morning. And we are also in the midst of our car care show around every Saturday, a little bit after the 7 o'clock news break. Nick Stoffel, ASC Certified Tech at Lloyd's Automotive, is answering any kind of a car care question you may have this morning, as usual. And we have a bunch, Nick. Here's a lot of tire questions this morning. This one involves a 2023 RAV4 Hybrid, 24,000 miles on it. All four tires are wearing more on the inside than the outside. They're also very noisy. He or she says there is not an alignment issue. The dealer cannot explain. These are factory tires. Do you have any thoughts?
Well, typically if we have a tire wear issue, it is something with the alignment. Obviously rotating those tires, you know, not just front to back, from side to side to get them wearing on a different edge of the tire might help prolong their life. But before I get that new set of tires, I would really look long and hard at that alignment, just to see where the specification is. Maybe it's just at the cusp or at the limit, you know, where it's still green, not bad, but just enough to kind of cause some wear there. So I would, once those tires are worn out, I'd be very careful. I'd look very carefully at that alignment because, you know, the tires are very expensive. Wearing them out prematurely is not desired. So I would I'd pay close attention. It might even be worthwhile now, next time you have them rotate them, have them do an alignment. Obviously, they said it's fine, but maybe they can adjust a little bit to make a little bit of a difference. The other thing, too, is that we're talking about tires, is tire pressure. The tire pressure, depending on inflation, if it's one extreme or the other, can cause those tires to wear abnormally, too. So check the tire pressure. Have somebody recheck that alignment and see if you can't get a few more miles out of those tires.
Very good. Listener, excuse me, wants to know, have you heard of a heater box warping happened to my Equinox and quite expensive to repair. How does that happen? First question, made the door on the heater flutter and knock. Have you heard of that, a heater box warping?
You know, I mean, I guess I have not. You know, if there's a knocking, ticking, clicking type noise, a lot of time that's because that door is trying to move and it cannot. So that actuator, which I think we talked about last week, those little motors in that heater box that control those flaps, that control the temperature, also the location of the air. So if you're trying to have defrost or vent or floor, there's a door in there that moves that air to the direction that we want or need. If that noise is becoming to the point where it's not functional, meaning you're not getting the hot air or the location, you're going to have to fix that. But I would probably dive a little deeper, ask a little more information what they mean by warping and why that's happening. My suspicion that the actuator itself has gone bad, and that's why you have that clicking, ticking type noise.
Very good. One more air pressure question. Our tire air pressure light comes on and off intermittently. It looks like all tire pressures are okay. What do you think could cause this?
So typically what it is, and it happens a lot this time of the year, when it's colder and the air in the tires, as they get colder, the pressure might drop a little bit. Once we hop in the vehicle, head down the road, it might even be just a mile or two, there's enough heat generated that will allow those pressures to increase, which will satisfy the sensors and the light and light goes out. So we tell people all the time, this time of the year, I understand the door says X PSI, add a couple pounds of pressure because that fluctuation can be a little frustrating because that light's coming and going. So if the door placard tells you 32 PSI, 34 PSI, add just a couple pounds of pressure. You know, 2 or 3 PSI will do the trick. Keep that light off and keep your tires properly inflated.
Oh, you like this one, Nick. A texter from Maple Grove wrote in. It said, Lloyd's Automotive, been there many times. Great place. You know this guy?
I'm trying. You know, there's a good shop in every town, every neighborhood, community. Yeah. We appreciate our listeners. We appreciate our customers. There are some folks that do drive a pretty good distance to come see us. And, of course, we want to do our best to take care of everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys do that very well. Texter asked this, in addition to underbody car wash, to remove snow and salt deposits after a snow event, do you recommend a rubber protectant spray for rubber bushings? If so, what do you recommend? I haven't heard of that. What was the story on that, a rubber protectant spray?
Well, I think what they're referencing is one of those undercoatings. And, you know, we've talked about those in the past. I think they do a fine job. I don't personally think it's necessary. You know, they get all the easy spots that you can see. It's those nooks and crannies that we always worry about where the salt can find its way in and start to create some corrosion and rust. You know, like they alluded to, my recommendation is always give it a good car wash, not on the coldest days of the year, but when it warms up closer to that freezing temp, that 32 degrees, you run it through the car wash, spend an extra dollar to get the undercarriage spray. I think that's the best that we can do to keep our cars rust-free the best we can where we live.
Absolutely. Looking at another text, Nick, it says this. Is it possible when you take your spare tire out from underneath my F-150, the tire pressure light goes on in the cab? I want to keep it in the back of the bed so I don't have to crawl under it in case of a flat during the winter. So I guess the question, what's the story on that?
Well, I don't think, a lot of the spare tires, full-size spare, will have a sensor, which is kind of nice because, you know, the last thing you want is have one of your four tires on the vehicle go flat and have your spare be flat also. So the vehicles that are equipped where it measures the fifth tire also is nice. It shouldn't turn the light on if it's in the back of the vehicle. If it leaves the vehicle, you leave it at home in the garage, you drive away, you might see some sort of indicator at that point. But I don't believe, with even whether it's under the vehicle or in the bed of the truck, it should make any difference with the light.
Texter says this or asks this regarding alignment. Is it important to align all four tires or is front end alignment enough?
Well, to be honest, most vehicles, the front end is about as much as you can adjust. There are some adjustments on the rear, but typically you don't see anything there. It's usually more with the fact that the front suspension has steering also. So the, you know, those axes where those tires are not just up and down, but left to right. So usually it's the front end that we do an alignment. when you do an alignment, you do measure all four wheels. So if you see something in the rear, you can talk to that, you know, that customer and tell them, you know, what needs to be done there. But honestly, 99% of the time, it's just the front end that we're aligning.
Okay. Looking at a text that says, and you can explain us what it is, should anti-seize be used in spark plugs? It's something I think I did 100 years ago when I bought Dick Chapman's old rusted-out Karmann Ghia, and I would try my best at being an auto technician changing a spark plug. But that stuff is kind of greasy, and it supposedly keeps things from sticking, right?
It does. A little secret that we have is if you have anti-seize, you throw that away simply because the stuff grows and walks. What I mean by that, you might put it on the spark plug, but then all of a sudden it's on the steering wheel behind your ear. That stuff is, you know, it's amazing how it gets around. We use a dielectric grease, and we put a little dab on the spark plug to keep them from corroding and seizing in. Obviously, if anti-seize is your preference, by all means, I think that's fine. But I do believe you should put a little something on those threads. It's different types of metals. You know, you have an aluminum cylinder head, a steel spark plug. Corrosion will happen. So to have something there to make sure they're seated and torqued, but when you do need to replace them, remove them, they will come out.
Okay. Texter says, silly question. No silly car care questions at all. Does using the, quote, sport rather than the eco setting on the drive help the car to heat up faster in the winter?
No, you know, it's more of time. You know, once the engine is running, it's going to take a certain amount of time for the engine to heat up. Once that does heat up, the coolant, which is gives you our heat, will also heat up. So the mode that you're using won't make that happen any faster. It just takes a few minutes for the engine to warm up to create that heat. So, you know, whether you let the car idle for a minute or two, you bundle up so the first couple of minutes you're driving isn't too cold. But there isn't much you can do other than give it a little bit of time.
Now, how long, we get this every winter questions, but personally, how long do you warm up your vehicle from a cold start?
The vehicle just needs a moment. Us, we like a couple minutes because nobody likes to hop into a cold car. And a couple things to remember, you know, it is against the law to have a vehicle running unattended. That doesn't include the remote start. So if you start your vehicle with the keys, you leave the key in the vehicle, be careful. Somebody can hop in your vehicle and drive away. We don't want that. So if you're in that type of space or situation, don't do that. Sit in the car if you need be. If you have a remote start, obviously you can let it go for a minute or two to kind of get everything warming up. You know, if you have heated seats and all that, those types of accessories, that will help get, you know, comfort for us. But as far as the vehicle itself goes, it is just a few moments just to get all those fluids circulating and the car's happy.
Very good. All right. If you need some help from Lloyd's Automotive, Nick, how do we find you guys?
Yes, sir. As you know, Denny, you can reach us at 651-228-1316. If you're on Grand, we're at 982 Grand, and that's in St. Paul, two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. And then finally, I really appreciate if you checked out our website, and that's at lloydsautomotive.net.
Let's get together one more Saturday before Christmas. What do you say?
It sounds like a plan.
All right, Nick. Have a good week up there and a good day up there, and we'll talk to you 1 week from today. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Denny.
Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.